Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Beneath the Kotatsu. My name is On, and on this episode, I was originally going to talk about the craziness that was Maburaho, the anime, until Reddit decided they wanted to drop our placing it for April Fools, and that lasted for the weekend, 3 days, maybe 3.5, 4 days-ish, and pretty much everyone was talking about it. It was all over the internet, and you know, unless you're under like a digital rock, you didn't have internet or anything like that, you must know about our place. You know, it was pretty crazy. A lot of stuff happened on our place. So I was thinking about, you know, what should I talk about? Cause I've been watching Maburaho, and it's an absurd anime, a really, really absurd anime I really wanted to talk about. So I thought about, hey, let's just do both. I'll just watch both animes I'll just talk about both topics because they're both really, well, one was really good and one was really bad. I guess I'll start with Maburaho just to get it out of the way real quick. So this anime came out during like the peak harem era, which was like between 2000 and 2006, maybe 2008. Was when pretty much everyone was getting into like harem anime. That was probably when there wasn't that many anime to choose from in terms of good animes back then. Pretty much all the good animes back then was pretty much on TV, like Adult Swim or something like that. And Maburaho was one of those animes where when I was first watching it, you know, I was probably still like in my teens. I was watching and I was like, yeah, it's not bad. And watching it again now, my thoughts were like, if this aired nowadays, if it aired now, I probably wouldn't be able to get through like 3-4 episodes just because the story is just so bad. It's such a bad anime in terms of storytelling. It has lots of tropes. It's basically just a huge trope anime. I don't know what else to say about it. I guess I'll talk about it real quick. So Maburaho is about it is a harem anime. We have our main character. His name is Kazuki. And he goes to like a very prestigious magic school. Everyone in the school knows magic. Technically, everyone in the world knows magic. And the thing about magic in the world is that everyone inherently has the ability to cast an X amount of magical spells. For normal people, it's roughly, you know, in the hundreds, like between 100 to maybe a couple hundreds. At this school, though, everyone is able to cast their spells several thousand times, between 1,000 and maybe 20,000 or something like that. But when I thought about it, I was like, those numbers are kind of low, maybe. Because, like, if you cast your spells, like, let's say once a day, it doesn't seem like that many. Especially, like, if I was a person that was, like, a normal person that was able to cast magical spells 100 times or something like that. And the thing is that, like, after you cast your spells X amount of times and you run out, you actually just die. You just straight up die and you turn to dust. If I only had like 100 times to cast my spell, honestly, I'd probably just forget that I even had magical spells just because I don't want to be that one person that like just randomly just cast their spells all the time and then just die. Like, especially if you think about it, I don't want to get too hard into like this, the craziness of this plot in terms of this anime, but if you think about it, like as a kid, could you imagine just a kid casting like all their spell slots? In like, I don't know, in a year or something like that, they, you know, like in this world, how are people even still alive? You know, like if people just have that low amount of magical spells. But so in this anime, our main protagonist here, Kazuki, he goes to this prestigious school. Everyone's able to cast their spells 1,000 times, except for him. He is able to cast 8 spells. And that's it. If he casts his spells 8 times, he dies. But the one good side is that his magic is extremely powerful. In terms of like magical ability, he has like the power to alter reality somewhat, kind of, maybe. They don't really go deep into like what kind of power he actually has. Like his powers changes from one use to another use. It's very random. And for everyone else, it's pretty consistent about what type of powers they use. Some of the characters are able to fly, some are able to use physical abilities, stuff like that, but they don't really go much into their spells. It's more just like a random filler anime, which, sure, I guess it is a harem anime, by the way. And for a harem anime, especially a filler, this thing got 24 episodes, and I'm over here thinking, like, how in the world does this anime get 24 episodes with, like, this much filler? It's just all filler. So, let me get into the actual harem here. So, first we have Kuriko, which is, like, the main childhood best friend type character. Tsundere character, who's always hanging around the main character. Next, we have Rin, who is the tropey, I hate you at first, but then I start to like you in the end type character. And then you have Yuna, which is like the blonde-haired girl, which is overly sexualized. And I thought it was extremely hilarious, especially if you watch it in English. Then instead of giving her like that princess voice, they gave her like this weird Kentucky bluegrass type voice, which made no sense to me, but I thought it was pretty funny. And then you had like an extra character, Chihaya, which is like another weird childhood friend type character as well. She's not in that many episodes, but she has like a pretty huge importance at the end of the show. And the end of the show honestly didn't even make that much sense to me, which is super weird. But I'll talk about the end of the show after I get to the main point of the show. So the main plot of the show, from episode 1 to episode 12, 13-ish, whatever, is that he, since he only is able to use his spell 8 times, but he's very powerful, he learns that, hey, he has a really great ancestry, and then that anyone who gathers his genes, you know, who wants to make a baby with him will have one of the strongest kids in the world, because he is endowed with all the genes of all the greatest magicians in the world, whatever, whatever. So the first 1 to 12 episodes, like in that time frame, like pretty much all the girls in the school are trying to get with him, but especially the three main characters, Kuriko, Rin, and Yuna. And throughout this whole these 12, 13 episodes, the only thing I'm thinking in my head is, oh, that's easy, just not use your spell. But that's easier said than done when it comes to like the most thick-headed character I've ever seen. So he knows that if he uses all of his spells, he's gonna die. So what does he do? He uses all of his spells in the most stupidest way possible. I cannot tell you how stupid the uses of his spells are. So he has 8. I'm gonna name all 8 of them, and you can tell you in your head, you can tell me how bad they are. So his first use of his spell is that when he was talking to Kuriko, he says some stuff. He forgets that she was his childhood best friend, and she runs away. He chases after her, and he remembers that he made a promise to her that she wanted to see snow. So what he does is he uses his spell to make it snow during the summer. Okay, yeah, all right, cool, whatever. Horrible way to use a spell. Sure, whatever. Second spell he uses is during one of like a random arc or whatever, they find a ghost of this little girl, and she's been kicked out of her house or whatever. And basically she gets revenge on them. She kidnaps Kuriko, and then she tickles her like in a different dimension or something like that. And instead of like, I don't know, doing something different, he decides to use his magical powers to try to pull Kuriko back from this altered dimension or something like that. And then also while he does that, his power also combines the female and male dormitories to one building now. Awful way to use a spell. That's another slot there. His third activation is spell. He actually uses it to kill like two behemoth demon monsters. That's fine. That was completely fine. I say that was a good use of his power. The fourth use of his power, which I feel like was one of the dumbest ones. And this has to do with Rin, like the samurai character, whatever. In this episode, she falls in love with, I'm not sure if she falls in love, but she admires the senior that is about to graduate from school. So she makes him a lunchbox, stays up all night, tries to make him a lunchbox. And then near the end, when she's trying to give him the lunchbox, she ends up tripping, dropping the lunchbox, or she was supposed to, until our main character here, Kazuki, decides to reverse time or something like that, bend time, to where she never trips and the lunchbox never falls. Oh god, what an awful, awful use of magic, but sure, whatever, it's his life. The next way he uses his power is he uses it to kill like a random blob monster during a school play or something. It gets summoned. And keep in mind, he doesn't need to use his power to kill this blob monster. Every person in the school is like a very like high level magic user. But he takes it on himself to kill this blob monster or whatever, and then he kills it by turning into ice, and then snow starts to fall, which makes which gives the school play some nice atmosphere, I guess that's what you can call it. Sure, whatever. Next use of his spell, we're on our fifth. We're on our fifth here right now, going on to our sixth. So Kuriko finds like a vial or something in the school office that was sent by, I think, her uncle. And the vial was supposed to help Kazuki get his spells back or something like that. But that wasn't the right vial. She opens it. Turns out there's nothing inside, except there was something inside. There was a virus inside the vial, and the virus gives her like an evil doppelganger type character. And the doppelganger starts doing bad stuff all over the school, and then challenges Kazuki to like a fight. Kazuki uses one of his spells to destroy the doppelganger. All right, sure, he's down to two slots left. Turns out that virus also makes Kuriko like, I don't know, super sick, and she's about to die. So of course, Kazuki uses his seventh spell to try to save Kuriko. Turns out that doesn't work, so you know what? He's going to try again. He's going to use his eighth spell to try to revive her. Turns out it works, but now he's out of spell slots, and that's pretty much like the synopsis from episode 1 to episode 13. And you're saying like, okay, well, that's weird. There's still, you know, several episodes left. There's still 12 episodes left. What's left? Turns out he ends up dying, and then he turns to a ghost. Because his power is so strong that he doesn't just fly into the aether once he dies. His body retains his magic and turns to a ghost. I'm guessing that's what happens. And then from episode 12 to episode 24 is just even more random filler. It's more random filler. And then near the end of the show, they find out like, hey, he's probably going to be able to regain his body back by going out with these four like the three main characters plus the additional like childhood friend character Chihaya or whatever, and it's because when he died, his ashes were scattered into their bodies, and then once he learns that, you know, when they're together with the other girls, he can absorb his ashes back to reform his body. Oh god, this is such a bad anime. Why? I don't even know why I put myself through watching this. Just trying to explain it. It was such a bad idea. It was such a bad anime. I don't know why. I don't know why I put myself through this watching such a bad anime. But Turns out that near the end, to get his body back, so he's gotten the ashes back from Rin, the samurai girl, and Yuna, the blonde-haired girl. And to get his remaining ashes back, he needs to get the ashes from Kuriko, the childhood best friend, and Chihaya, the other childhood best friend. And here's the stupid part. The stupid part is that, so throughout like the whole series, they hook you on this idea that hey, him and Yuriko are childhood best friends, and there's this like flashback of him making a promise to her that, you know, they will see snow and whatnot. But actually, that's not the real flashback. The real flashback is with actually Kuriko and Chihaya. They're both the same and separate person he made a promise to, the same promise that includes snow, and I don't know. I have no idea. And but the thing is that once he regains all his ashes, he will lose his memories. All right, sure. And Kuriko is fine with that because she'd rather have his body back and for him to forget about her, but she hides on the opposite end. She doesn't want to give him his body back because she doesn't want him to forget about her. And everyone's like, I think everyone's chasing after Chihaya, trying to talk her into giving up the ashes that's inside her body to reform Kazuki. And she's like the only straight person like in the group in my mind, because her argument is that, you know, he shouldn't have been a ghost in the first place because he shouldn't have used his powers. She's been looking after him this entire time, you know, like before he got into this debacle with the like learning that he has like magical genes, you know, and then all these girls are now following him. Like she has pretty much been watching him this whole time, just making sure he doesn't use any of his powers. And then she just straight up told like Kuriko, Rin, and Yuna that, you know, we shouldn't be in this situation because he shouldn't have used his powers in the first place, but here we are now. So in the end they end up talking to her, and she's like, all right, fine, you know, it's fine, I'll give up my ashes to reform his body, yada yada yada. And then of course he gets his body back. End of story. That's pretty much the anime. It was awful. Do I re like score wise? Okay, so when I was looking up the score for this anime on the My Anime list, it got like a 6.5 or something. And in my mind, I was like, you know, 6.5. That's a pretty standard rating for an anime that came out in 2003. I feel like that's actually normal for a harem type anime for something that came out in 2003. You know, that's like during the time of like To Love Ru and Zero No Skyma and a bunch of other harem type animes like that. To me, if I was to give it a score, I'd give it like 3.5, maybe. Am I being a bit too generous? I mean, it's not even a good like rainy day anime to watch. It's not even that good. It's 24 episodes too, so I felt like I was like, even watching it felt like a drag to watch as well. Like it's not worth the watch. But you know, if you like harem anime, if you want to like a nostalgia trip back to like the 2000s era anime, I guess this should fill up that slot. Even though it didn't make any sense, it was kind of stupid. It had a bunch of fillers. I guess it had some funny parts, but it pretty much like geared towards like teenagers. Like the when you're in that like horny teenager phase, this is like the type of anime you're looking for. Yeah, but that's pretty much it. It wasn't that good. I don't know what else to say about this anime other than that. So yeah, I'm just gonna get on to my next topic about Our Place. So if you didn't know, Our Place is basically like, you've never heard of Our Place and you don't know what it is. So Our Place is hosted on Reddit, and Reddit is basically like a huge news article site or whatever like that. It's like with a bunch of different communities, you know, like where you can join communities for cars, sports, anime, games, anything like that. There's a community for pretty much everything. And our place, they originally had our place 5 years ago. And what originally is our place is it's a giant canvas of several thousand pixels. And each person is allowed to place one pixel of color on this canvas every 5 minutes. And you're thinking to yourself, well, what's the significance of this? It's not very, what do you do with this? Well, if you have a big enough community, you can start making art, really nice looking art, especially on this canvas. And the big thing about the canvas in itself is that once you make the art, you actually have to physically stay up and defend it, because there's going to be other people, because it's a limited space, you know, there's limited space and everyone wants to be on this canvas. Every community wants to be on this canvas, but it's only going to be the big ones that take up the most space. That's going to have the most area that gets to do the most amount of stuff, whatever. So basically that's what it is. It's a giant canvas. So, the first thing I would tell you to do is like maybe pause the podcast here, go to go to YouTube, type in, Reddit place 2022 time lapse. So you can see the entire thing. The entire thing was like 4 days total or something, like a little less than 4 days. And the great thing about this canvas is that it's actually four times bigger than the original canvas that was 5 years ago. So, I guess I'll name some of the crazy stuff that happens during during this canvas here. So the first thing that happened was when a canvas first opened up, there's this giant Ukrainian flag that expanded across the whole thing, which is awesome. Really big props to Ukraine here. The next thing I thought was pretty hilarious, and this actually went on throughout like the next 4 days or whatever, is with the Canadian flag. So Canada, the Canadian group is trying to make their Canadian flag, but to the life of them, they cannot make a leaf. They cannot form a leaf on their flag, which is funny. I think everyone's like got it in their heads like, hey, let's just mess with Canada the entire time and not let them make their leaf. Really funny. I thought it was hilarious. And then after that, we had like the invasion of flags. Every country had to put their flag somewhere on this canvas. It pretty much became a huge, who can have a bigger flag type deal. All right. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Another big thing on the canvas was the subreddit, Fuck Cars. I've never heard about it before, but they had a huge plot on the canvas where they had a giant parking lot filled with a bunch of cars or a little pics of cars or whatever. And I thought this was extremely hilarious because the subreddit is pretty much the hate cars. They want more green ways of traveling, more walking, stuff like that. And I thought it was pretty ironic that the community banded together to protect a huge parking lot. Yeah, it's pretty absurd. It's pretty funny. The next thing I thought was pretty cool was the so GameStop Super Stonk, where they talk about GameStop all the time, got on the canvas. But I didn't really want to talk about GameStop. I really wanted to talk about the ticker, the little green line going up and down with the stocks or whatever. Originally, I guess they had it just within their little canvas area, but it popped out of their little area and just flew across the whole map here. And if you actually go, I'm going to put a link to like the, like an atlas. Like there's this awesome website called the Atlas, the Canvas Atlas, where you pretty much hover over like any of the photos and they give you like a description of what it is, because there's a billion stuff on this canvas that I have no idea. Like I had to look up and try to figure out what was going on. That was awesome. But if you look at if you find the GameStop, the Super Stock little art thing they had, and look at their ticker, you can see it fly across the entire map, going all over the place. Next thing I want to talk about is the Hololive X Belgium collaboration, which I thought was hilarious. Like if you look at the Hololive where they are on the canvas, they're kind of like inside the Belgium flag. Belgium and them got together real nice. And then there's like in the Belgian flag, they put like a beer, and if you look at the beer, it's like overflowing from the cup and falling onto Hollow Council, pretty funny as well. And then when the canvas got the doubled in size and the quadrupled in size, Hollow Live actually expanded, which included Sadiago. Fantastic. I love that art. And then with the expansion of Hololive, a bunch of other VTubers got involved as well. So you had the collaboration between Hololive, Nichi-Sanji, and VShoujo, plus a bunch of independent VTubers that were all kind of put together in there as well. So if you look at the Atlas, in the links, definitely check it out. It's pretty cool. Next big thing is the streamer XQC or whatever. He started trying to invade the canvas, trying to black out a bunch of art and whatnot. He was going after first at first he was going after just random artwork, I think, and then he was targeting Hololive, and then after that he was targeting Osu. But Hololive put up a really good defense, especially with Iron Mouse. Iron Mouse on her stream saw that XQC was trying to attack the VTuber community, and she called arms to try to defend it. Pretty awesome. And I think everyone in general, from all the posts I saw on the R Play subreddit, everyone pretty much and that ended up hating XQC by a lot. And there's a lot of streamers. Like I feel like the reason why they expanded the canvas so much is because every streamer that has like even a minor following wanted to be on the canvas. But there are some streamers that are more graceful in their inclusion onto the canvas, and then there are some that are just trying to bash their way into the canvas, and usually that never works out. So like just with like XQC in general, he tried to put like a huge logo of himself on the banner that took up like maybe a tenth of the real estate, stayed on there for like maybe a couple hours before it was instantly deleted by several other communities, because he pretty much made enemies with so many other communities, especially with the Osu community. Since the I think from 5 years ago, Osu community has been pretty rampant with how defensive they are, trying to protect all their art and stuff like that. So he made a lot of enemies that day. Another thing that popped up on the canvas was the Genshin Impact. Oh my god, I think out of every community, gacha community, I think that one was pretty much really hated for some reason. I don't know why. They tried to make their logo on the canvas, and it was pretty big. It was a pretty big logo, trying to put like the word Genshin on it. And then of course everyone got together and they changed it to Genshit, I guess because they didn't like it. And then it randomly became Shrek and like a Shrek meme. I have no idea. Definitely watch the time lapse. The next thing that caught my attention was the Among Us. They became rampant, and it's kind of hard to see. It's kind of hard to see like on a time lapse. But what happened was that pretty much like these mini Among Us pixels, which were like 15 pixels at most or something like that, started making their way into like random art pieces. Like if you could find like a really nice blown up picture and zoom in really close, you'll probably be able to see like just random Among Us and like inserted into random photos or just random artworks. It's pretty crazy. Next thing is the Star Wars community. They did a really great job creating like a really fantastic artwork. And I think the thing that brought the Among Us thing to my attention was when they like fully invaded the Star Wars photo, taking over it with like a bunch of Among Us. Like they hit like, I'm gonna say like 30 or 40 Among Us inside the Star Wars photo. It was fantastic. Next thing I want to talk about is the number one defender. You would think that Osu would be the number one defender, but actually, I think the number one defender was the top left corner, the connection loss Subreddit? I have no idea what if there's a subreddit. I don't know what it is, but it basically like a little black banner says connection lost, trying to reestablish, which is a funny joke in itself. They created it and it stayed up there for a while. And you know, I don't think it even moved. I don't think it was even attacked. It was just there forever. Next thing is the Minecraft. So I thought the Minecraft community was very, very creative in what they did. So instead of creating a static photo on the canvas, what they did was they recreated the Minecraft loading screen, which you can only see in a time lapse, which ended with a creeper blowing it up or something like that. It's kind of hard to explain without seeing the time lapse. Definitely take a look at the time lapse. Try to find the Minecraft area. I'm not sure if it made it into the very end, but I remember I saw it. It was like one of those, like when you first create like a new world and it has like a square that's it's loading pixels. That's basically what it is. Next thing was the Void. The Void pretty much came back from 5 years ago. What the Void is that it's just a random area will pop up and it will just be taken over by just a bunch of black pixels. Which in general, I like the Void. The Void basically will remove artwork that's not being fully defended all the way, which makes way for new artworks or different stuff like that. Except that the Void was taken over by like another streamer and he was randomly targeting. I don't think it was random. He was like specifically targeting like the My Little Pony subreddit and community and stuff like that. I think it was XQC again, maybe. So the next thing that happened was during the third and fourth expansion of the canvas, we had the German flag. Oh my god! I thought US was big on like flag pride, but oh my god, the Germans are like they expanded so far into like every region. They wanted majority share of the flag. Just the German flag, German community. I don't know, but it was pretty rampant. It was all over the place. Same with the French flag. There's like a huge French flag at the bottom left of the map that took up like, I want to say, and this is with the fourth expansion, it took up like one tenth or maybe one sixteenth of the entire canvas. And I'm not blaming it on the French community. I don't think this was the French community. This was a bunch of French streamers that wanted to do this. And it felt like bad taste. And I don't think anyone really liked it just because it took up so much real estate. On the other hand, though, there are several other flags that didn't take up that much real estate and did a great job at decorating their flags. Best flag overall, I think, was the Mexican flag. They did a great job. They had like Aztec artwork, little like with the small real estate they had. They did a great job of decking out with great art. United Kingdom also had a really nice silhouette background, along with the USA flag. They actually had really good art. They had like the moon landing. They had the Statue of Liberty. I think they had like the Rocky Mountains, something like that. A lot of stuff. Another big thing that stood out to me was the Portuguese and Argentina flags. The collaboration between those two. And on the flag, you can see Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. They're next to each other, hugging each other. Really great, fantastic. Not really big into football/soccer, but good to see those communities get together. Another thing I thought was hilarious, going back to the Canadian flag where they weren't able to make their leaf on their flag, the Germans actually made the leaf for them on their flag, which is dubbed the German maple leaf. Fantastic. Another thing that ended up on the canvas here was the Rickroll QR code that actually didn't make it to the end of the canvas. But if you see it in the time lapse, I think it was at the bottom-ish, more to the right, I guess. You'll see a QR code pop up. You can scan it. It's Rickrolling you. Fantastic job. Another great art was the collaboration with the My Neighbor Totoro x Cowboy Bebop, dubbed My Neighbor Bebop by the streamer Ludwig. And I was like, you know, this, I don't watch a lot of streamers, but Ludwig is like the opposite of XQC. He made great looking art, didn't slap his giant logo onto the canvas here. And if you look at the actual final artwork, it looked fantastic, really great. Another big thing on the canvas was One Piece. One Piece was pretty much all over the canvas. I think they had like several artworks, but they had a huge one near the middle with the Goldie Roger. And I really liked the collaboration between the One Piece and the sci-fi fantasy world, where they're kind of colliding together, mixing their art. Looks really fantastic. And then another thing was during the invasion of the French flag at the bottom left, a bunch of people started creating this huge ass at the bottom left. And if you look, if you're watching the replay and you're like, hey, why did it turn black? It's because Reddit censored it. And I was like, really? Out of everything to censor, they censored that. There's like, there's pictures of like, dicks ejaculating across the screen, and that never got censored, but a huge ass, really? So that's forever going to be on the canvas. There's actually a bunch of debauchery, I guess, regarding like mods in general abusing their powers, putting a bunch of pixels on the canvas with no timers, because everyone has like a 5-minute timer, but they can just repeatedly put more pixels on the canvas. You know, there's been a lot of stuff about mods and how they didn't like it. Another great artwork I really enjoyed was the First Hand, which is basically like the first artwork. It's like a bloody hand on a rock looking thing that was next to the Void. Fantastic looking artwork. I like that there. Another one that stood out to me was it's called Leaves from the Vine. It's like a really nice actual piece of artwork depicting the Iroh from Avatar The Last Airbender, which I didn't know until I actually looked up on the Atlas, where it was basically about them like this was a tribute to the original voice actor of Iroh that died. So it was pretty awesome. I like that. Big controversies regarding like bots. I thought that was pretty funny too, was that like every community was like saying like each community was using bots. Everyone was using bots. In general, I feel like everyone was using bots. Who wasn't using bots? I feel like the French were using bots. I don't know if OC was using bots, but it felt like it. The reason why I say that is because at the end of the canvas, they have this thing called the whiteout, the anti-void, which basically Reddit turned off all the colors except for white. So the only thing you can place on the canvas was the color white, which, you know, whited out the entire canvas. And the first thing they immediately get whited out was the French and the Osu symbol, which everyone in their mind was like, it must have been bots. This definitely has to have been a bot type thing, because the minute the white thing got turned on, the French flag immediately disappeared, and then the Osu symbol immediately disappeared as well. So everyone's thinking like, no, you know, it has to be bots, right? Only bots can do that. During the whiteout, there's some, like, you would think like, oh, you know, whiteout, everything gets whited out, nothing really interesting happened there. But actually, there's several different funny stuff that happens during the whiteout. If you look back on the time lapse, you can see like during the whiteout, they had like really cool lines getting drawn all over the place. But I think the funniest thing that happened during the whiteout was the Goldie Roger laser that shot across the map, because the Goldie Roger was like, he had his mouth open, and then you can see this giant white line just blast across the screen. It was really funny. It was fantastic. I think that was pretty much everything about our place. It was really enjoyable. I really hope they do this, maybe not next year, but maybe the year after. But I think they do need a little bit of restraint in terms of bots or additional accounts, because pretty much everyone was making like like 4 or 5 additional counts to put on extra pixels, and it's really hard to get past this. Like, I know they said they had like anti-bot measures or something like that, but it didn't look like it was doing anything really. I feel like a good way to combat this was to maybe make like a participation type pixel thing, where the longer your account is on Reddit, and it's, let's say it's been active for the last year, like let's say you're physically active on the account, and let's say the account is 5 years old, when you place a pixel, it has like a five dot counter or something like that. So to be able to replace your dot, like let's say a new account with zero, like freshly made account, there would have to be 5 freshly made accounts to attack that one pixel to remove yours. But if someone with, let's say, six years on their account places a pixel on yours, they nullify your 5 years or your 5 pixels and then place one of their own. Let's say if it's someone with 10 years, they replace your pixels and then place an additional 5 of their own on there. So, so they need, someone else needs like 5 additional pixels to replace that. That's my thought on maybe a good countermeasure of how that would work out. So basically it works out for people, with that have been on Reddit longer, that aren't making extra accounts or something like that. Because like if they did that without the extra, like if you haven't been on the account for the last year or something like that, like people still have their accounts from like 5-6 years ago when the original place happened. So maybe that's a good countermeasure, that they have to be active on the account maybe, or they have to have a certain amount of karma on the account maybe. I don't know. Just my thought. But overall, I really enjoyed our place. Really great artwork coming out of that, a lot of great collaborations between a lot of different communities. I didn't really participate in any of the communities. I just really enjoyed watching it. It was fantastic to watch. I hope you guys really enjoyed it too. Definitely watch. Definitely look for the link at the bottom. I will put a link for the Atlas. And then I'll see if I can find a photo of the of our places that I can link at the bottom. Maybe not. I don't know. I think, well, the Atlas will have the huge photo, but definitely go look up the time lapse. The time lapse is really awesome. Like if you're just looking at the final photo, you're not getting the full justice. You have to see the time lapse to get the full immersion of it. So definitely watch that out. But besides that, I think that's pretty much it I want to talk about. So I'm going to catch you guys later. Bye.